Now we will sing prayers of Queen Kunti, verses 28 to 31 today.
Manyetam kalami shalam,
Manyetam kalami shalam,
Anadi nitanam vibham,
Anadi nitanam
vibham, Samam charantam sarvatra,
Samam charantam sarvatra,
Bhutaram yam mitakali, Navera kasche bhagavan shikirshitam,
Navera kasche bhagavan shikirshitam,
Tavehamanasya ninam vidambanam,
Tavehamanasya ninam vidambanam,
Nayasya kasche dayatasti kaviche,
Nayasya kasche dayatasti kaviche,
Deshyascha yasmin vishamamatir nilam,
Deshyascha yasmin vishamamatir nilam,
Janma karma cha vishvatma,
Janma karma cha vishvatma,
Ajasya kartiratmana,
Ajasya kartiratmana,
Tiryang nishishu yadasu, Sarayanta vidampana,
Sarayanta
vidampana, Gopyata te taikita gasita matava,
Gopyata te taikita gasita
matava, Yate rusha shikali ranjana sambhamaksham,
Yate rusha shikali ranjana sambhamaksham,
Vatrani niya bhaya bhavana yastitasya,
Vatrani niya bhaya bhavana yastitasya,
Samam vimahayati virabhiyad viveti,
Samam vimahayati virabhiyad viveti,
Mukham mukharati vakshadam bangunam vayatirin, Yakitam daham vande shi gurum jinatayam, Om jnana timiranasya jnananjana shakaya, Chakshu militam yena tismay shri Bhagavad. So yesterday we had some homework, and the first question was about protection. Since last night, how have you felt Krishna's protection in your life? That's a very short time, but it may happen. Did anybody have something? Yes?
I spent some decades away from the association and devotees here. But through Srila Prabhupada and through chanting, I felt Krishna's protection.
Through chanting and through Srila Prabhupada, you felt Krishna's protection. Okay. Yes? So you answered both the questions in one. What he gives, what he takes away, and how he protects, all in one sentence. Very good. Yes?
I was telling you yesterday my experience.
Right.
One of my restaurants.
Right.
6 months past, police called me.
Police called you?
Called me for interview. They were asking me funny questions. I was not disturbed at all.
Right.
So usually you get scared.
Right.
When police called you, you got to get out of very calm. I was not worried about anything. They were asking the question, they asking me, and they left a lot of page in front of me, you know. Then they keep going out, in and out, some photos, when they were watching me, maybe. I will check what is this. I was calm.
Right.
There was a protection. I felt, when I can tell you, if you chant Krishna mantra, you become brave, and Krishna is all the time.
So you felt protected even though the police called you?
Yes, and then even though they couldn't wait, because of the, they were, even the one policeman asked me, oh, you know, I know you haven't done it, but if you give me some money, I will help you. I said, what for? What for you giving me money? Means they're trying to trick me?
Yeah.
Means they're trying to get the guilt out of me?
Yeah.
That was later on. Yeah. But my, from inside, I was so strong, I was so fearless.
Right.
So, many things happen, many times happen, you know, when you're a businessman, people try to. So when you chant your Quran and you believe in Krishna, then Krishna will protect you.
So Krishna will protect you even if the police call you. Yes? He keeps you in devotional service. Okay, so that's your how you saw Krishna's protection in your life, how he keeps you in devotional service. Okay? Anybody else have something to say about that? Okay, next question. How Krishna gives, what Krishna gives, and what Krishna takes away. Did Krishna take away something from somebody yesterday? Yes?
As far as in my life, Mataji, Krishna has taken all my friends, even my own
He family. Took all your friends away, yes. Including your parents.
I mean, they're all there, but I lost complete contact and association.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a very small family compared to the Melbourne family.
Okay. He took away your small family and he gave you a huge Melbourne family. Compared to the Melbourne family, that what he took away was not very much.
Nothing.
That's what Prabhupada said too. Okay. Anybody else have, did Krishna give and take away from you something? Of course, we didn't give you much time in between, but today we will give you a lot of time till your next class, Wednesday. So you'll be able to observe a lot in the next few days. Yes?
Also, Krishna took away my health.
He took away your health?
When I was 5 to 45, I had chronic illness.
5 to 45.
And then somehow or other, Krishna arranged that I had the intelligence to find an alternative cure.
Right.
To what had not been working.
Okay, great. So at the age of, usually at the age of 45, it's the other way around.
Yeah.
That's when we lose our health, 45, 50, 60. But for you, it happened the opposite. So he gave you the cure at 45. Okay, anybody else? Krishna gives and takes away. Okay, we'll start with today's. Today's theme is mercy. It's all about mercy. Of course, we won't get to the mercy until the next verse, because first we have to see about Krishna's form as time in verse 28. Samam charantam savatra bhutanam yam mitakale. My Lord, I consider your Lordship to be eternal time, the supreme controller, without beginning and end, the all-pervasive one. In distributing your mercy, you are equal to everyone. The dissensions between living beings are due to social intercourse. So, time. In the purport, Prabhupada says that another name of the Paramatma feature of the Lord is Kala, or eternal time. In Bhagavatam, it explains that Super Soul is Paramatma in our heart, and he expands outside as time. It's an expansion of Super Soul is time. So, how do we experience time? Who can tell me? How do we feel the presence of time in our lives? Yes? Okay, has a beginning, middle, and end. How else do we feel the influence of time? Yes? The body changes, yes. The body changes. Anybody else have some experience? Yes? The time we get up in the morning, that also changes as we get older.
Time doesn't work for anybody.
What? Time doesn't work for anybody. There's never enough time, right? Especially for devotees. Does anybody have the problem with too much time on your hands? We always hear about time management. That means we don't have enough time. Time is less. Okay, so another, what is some other experience of time in your life? Yes?
Sometimes you see someone who's a little child, and then after a long time you see them and they're so grown up, and you're like, oh, they're so grown up, and so much time has passed, 10 years has passed, and you've done that.
Okay, you see the change. I know somebody knew me when I was young, and then they met me now, and they said they didn't recognize me. So you really change with time. Yeah, so another thing that we experience is when we get old, then we really see the effects of time. You look in the mirror. I mean, the young people, they can look in the mirror, and they may think, well, this is me. But when you get old and you look in the mirror, you really know this is not me. I see in the mirror. You really don't identify with what you see in the mirror anymore. Because you remember how you used to look, and then now it's this is not me. I'm not this body. Finally, when you get old, you really have a good realization of how you're not the body. Yes?
Time proves that we thought we were intelligent, but we are not so intelligent.
We're not so?
Intelligent.
Intelligent. Okay, time proves that. Yes. Yes. When you're young, you think you know everything. And but when the longer you stay in this world, the less you know. The less you realize, the less you know. And so this is time. So all the reactions of our past misdeeds, they are also given to us by time. And time is impartial. No one is enemy, no one is friend. As far as time is concerned, everyone is suffering and enjoying the result of his own destiny. And nobody can change their destiny except the devotees of the Lord. They can change. But otherwise, people are actually fixed, their destiny is fixed, until and unless they meet the devotee of the Lord. Then you can actually change. Like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I will protect you from your reactions if you surrender. Yes? Yeah, there is, time is here in the material world. In the spiritual world, time is different. It's always in the present, no past and future. Everything seems always new. Every time. Radharani, she never cooks the same thing for Krishna. And every time you play a game with Krishna, it seems like it's the first time. And every time Radha and Krishna meet, it's like the first time they met. So time is different in the spiritual world. And not only that, you can have all the seasons in one day. Of course, maybe you can do that here, I don't know. You can have all these seasons in one day. But in, yes? Yes. Oh, that is, how can we understand Krishna when he says, time I am? This time I am is the destroyer of the worlds, and this is for those who don't believe in Krishna, the non-devotees. If you don't believe in Krishna, if you don't believe in God, then for you, God is death. You will meet him at the time of death. Because that's the one thing you have no control over. For you to, everyone thinks they are God and they are controlling, but at the time of death, then you will meet Krishna as time. In fact, Krishna has two forms. For the non-devotees, he appears as Kala Rupa. It's not pleasing at all. And so they would, many of the people who, when they think about the form of the Lord, they would rather have him formless so he doesn't see what they're doing. If a formless person cannot notice your activities or give you anything in reaction. So for the devotees, the real form of Krishna is there, as beautiful, bluish form, Shyama Sundar. Here, his name is Balabha. He has many names. So if you have devotion for the Lord, you will see his actual form. If you do not wish to see him, then you will see his form as time. Because that's the only thing that you cannot control, old age, disease, death. These are not under our control. Of course, for the devotee, you have a lot more freedom. In your old age and your disease, you have more freedom. And even in your death, it's the difference between the death of a devotee and the death of a non-devotee is given by Śrīla Prabhupāda like an analogy of a cat. If the cat is holding the rat in its mouth, how is that rat feeling? Very death personified, fearful, anxious, doesn't know where he's going. Of course, he knows what's going to happen, but he doesn't know where he's going. So when the non-devotee dies, then he's fearful, he's anxious, he doesn't know where he's going, and he's very much disturbed. But the devotee is like a kitten in the mouth of the cat. The kitten is feeling very secure. Oh, my mother's taking me home. And so even if the kitten feels a little bit of the teeth of the mother, it feels good because she knows where she's going, that little kitten. So when we feel pangs of death, even disease, Prabhupada said, even in this life, if we feel the teeth of the mother cat, we just should know it's Krishna taking us in the right direction, closer to him, closer to home. And sometimes we feel some suffering. But Prabhupada said it's like the teeth of the mother cat taking us back. Yes. So here it says, Samam Charantam. He's equal everywhere. Time is equal to everyone. Liberation is also open for everyone. Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam is for everyone, for all human beings, so we can all take advantage. So verse 29, we're going to hear about mercy now.
Naveru kasci bhagavan shikirshitam tabehamanasya ninam virambanam nayasya kasci dayitastikar vichir teshascha yasmin vishanamati ninam.
O Lord, no one can understand your transcendental pastimes, which appear to be human and are so misleading. You have no specific object of favor, nor do you have any object of envy. People only imagine that you are partial. So there is a contradiction here that Krishna is equal in distributing his mercy, and he's also partial in distributing his mercy. So how can he be equal and partial at the same time? How is this possible? So, how it's possible is, he's equal to non-devotees. Everyone gets their just reward. But for the devotees, they get more than they deserve. They get mercy. For the non-devotees, they get justice. You did something in your past life, you killed somebody, in this life you will be killed. For the devotees, they get mercy. Okay, you surrender to me, so you will not be, you won't be killed, instead you will get a cut in your finger. Or you'll get a broken leg. So if you surrender to Krishna, he changes the laws for you. He amends the laws. You still get something, but you don't get what you deserve. You get mercy instead. So in this world, it's very hard for us. If somebody does something to us, we want justice. So for ourselves, we want justice. For others, we want justice, but for ourselves, we want mercy. So this is how it is in this material world. But Krishna, he's partial to his devotees, just like a person will be partial to his own children. So we are Krishna's children. Actually, everybody's Krishna's child, if he wants to be. But if he doesn't want to be, then okay, then you're just under the law of material nature. So why does Krishna come here? Because of his free will. He wants to come and see what's going on here. He doesn't need to come to kill the demons, and he doesn't even need to come really to protect the devotees, because for the demons, for the non-devotees, the Yamadutas are wandering everywhere, just waiting for someone to finish his life and they can take him away and punish him. And Prabhupada said the Vishnudutas are also wandering, just like police patrol cars. So if anybody's chanting Hare Krishna, the Vishnudutas are ready to help. If somebody's in trouble, the Vishnudutas, sometimes in the Christian religion, they say you have a protecting angel. So these are the Vishnudutas. They are sent by the Lord just to protect the devotees. So Krishna comes, and Krishna doesn't have to come, but still he comes, just to have his pastimes. And he's equal to everyone. But some people complain, oh, why is he so partial to the Pandavas and envious of the Kurus? Because he's always taking the side of the Pandavas. But actually, the Pandavas were righteous. They were following the religious principles. So therefore, he wanted Yudhisthira to be the king. Otherwise, the people would suffer. So for Kunti, it's very bewildering that how Krishna is playing the part of human being, and it looks like he's partial to someone and not to another. So this is bewildering. So, but we can, if we look at the pastimes of Krishna, we can see how Krishna killed Putana, the demon, and even though he killed her, he gave her the benediction of being his mother. like his mother in the spiritual world, because she came as a mother. So he took the good. Of course, he had to kill her, because otherwise she would go and kill other babies. That was her job. She wanted to go and kill other babies, so he had to kill her before he would kill other she would kill other babies. But after killing her, then he gave her that benediction. And so a little service to Krishna will save us from the greatest danger, especially if we chant Hare Krishna. In the Adi Purana, Krishna says, "One who chants my name, even neglectfully, I keep forever his name in my heart." So if you chant Krishna's name, he will keep your name in his heart. And Prabhupada said, Krishna is keeping a little notebook for us. Every obeisance, every prayer, every mantra that we chant, it's in Krishna's notebook. And for the Nandavodis, Yamaraj is keeping a notebook. So whatever they have done is being noted by Yamaraj. And then at the end, they will come for judgment, and he will say, okay, you did this, you did that, you did this. Get punished. For the devotees, Krishna is just, he's just waiting for us to come to him. He's very happy. So he notices every little thing we do for him. And that is Krishna's mercy. But sometimes people think that you devotees, you're just doing some service to flatter the Lord, to get some special mercy. Prabhupada in the Purport, he says, factually, the pure devotees engaged in the loving service of the Lord are not a mercantile community. The businessman, he does some service in exchange for something. So the devotees are not like that. They don't do service to Krishna in exchange for something back. Of course, it's all right if you do that, but the pure devotees, they're not like that. So what happens is that four kinds of people come to worship Krishna who have some material desires. They may want money, they may want some relief from suffering, they may want to satisfy their curiosity, or they may want some knowledge. And so when they get what they want, then they leave. They don't worship the Lord anymore. Okay, he gave me, so bye. I don't need you anymore. But for the devotees, they always want to worship. And Krishna satisfies your desires. I know when I was giving one Bhakti Shastri class, and I asked everybody, why did you join? Why did you come to devotional service in the beginning? Were you in need of money? Were you distressed? So only one person in all my classes raised his hand that he was in need of money. And it just so happened that he became the temple treasurer after that. So Krishna fulfilled his desire in a different way. He got to handle lots of money, but it wasn't his money. But anyway, Krishna does that in a very funny way. When you become a devotee, he will fulfill your desires. Yes?
How would it work if you got that treasury, got in that position, sort of misappropriated money, or committed some offense? How does that work then?
How does it work if he misappropriates the money? Then he will get the reaction. That's all. But Prabhupada was very merciful. There was, you know, in Prabhupada's time, it happened sometimes that they would misappropriate money, but Prabhupada would always, and they would leave, and then Prabhupada would call them back and say, okay, it's not such a big thing, just come back and do some service. He would always accept them back. So Prabhupada says that a suffering man, if he's pious, prays to the Lord for his recovery, but as soon as the recovery is over, in most cases a suffering man no longer cares to keep any connection with the Lord. So here is a very important statement of Prabhupada. The mercy of the Lord is open for him, but he is reluctant to receive it. So, is one question for you, it will be, why will we be reluctant to receive the mercy of the Lord? Is there some mercy that you might be reluctant to receive? Who can tell me if there's some kind of mercy? Yes?
Sometimes I feel scared of the mercy of the Lord.
You feel scared of the mercy of the Lord.
Because Lord Krishna's name is also Hari, he takes
away. Hari, he takes away, okay.
So on one hand we pray for renunciation, but on the other hand, you know, we also pray that, you know, I want renunciation, but please don't be too hard on me.
Yeah, I want renunciation, but please don't be too hard on me. Not just now, maybe later, or slowly. Slowly, yes? Very opulent mercy sometimes, yes?
And opulence sometimes creates pride.
And opulence creates pride, yes.
Pride comes before fall.
Right. So Lord Brahma, that's why he was praying for protection from pride, from fall down due to pride. Yes, so we have to be very careful as devotees when the opulence does come, that we engage it in the service of Krishna. We realize it's Lakshmi, it belongs to Krishna. Radharani belongs to Krishna. So as devotees, we have to be very careful of that. Yes. Oh, you ask for the mercy and it comes and you don't realize it's the mercy. Yes, that may happen, especially if something is taken away or you're forced to change your service, for example, or even your place of residence. You have to go to another temple. You may not see that as mercy. I know it happened to me so many times. But every time it happened, it was for the best. It was for the better. Every time it happened, I saw that, oh, this is really nice. Sometimes I didn't appreciate it at the moment, but when I look back on it after some years, I said, yes, this was the right thing that happened. Okay, so, yes?
Sometimes when you get the mercy, you feel like you're not really deserving of it. It makes you feel very humble about it. You've got so much mercy.
Good. Sometimes you get so much mercy, you feel you don't deserve it. So that is the mentality of the devotee. If something good happens, he feels like, oh, I don't deserve this. Why should I get so much? And if something bad happens, he thinks, yes, this is what I deserve. I should have gotten much more. Now the non-devotees, they think the opposite. They think if something bad happens, oh, why is God so unjust and cruel on me? And if something good happens, they think, oh yes, I did something really good here. They don't give the credit to God. If something good happens, they take the credit. And if something bad happens, they blame God. So this is the difference in mentalities between devotee and non-devotee. Okay, so Prabhupada goes on to say in the purport, those who are completely against the service of the Lord are considered to be in abject darkness. Those who ask for the Lord's favor only at the time of necessity are partial recipients of the mercy of the Lord. Those who are 100% engaged in service of the Lord are full recipients of the mercy of the Lord. Such partiality in receiving the Lord's mercy is relative to the recipient and not due to partiality of the Lord. So what is it that determines how much mercy we get? Prabhupada just said that. Yes?
Quality of service.
Quality of service. And he said according to how open we are to receive the mercy, that's how much mercy we'll get. According to the recipient, not the partiality of the Lord. So again, we have the comparison of the sun, that if you go in the sunlight, you will get the full benefit of the sun. But if you hide yourself in a closet, or close all the windows, close the curtains, turn off the light, you will not get the benefit of the sun. So, and I've heard people say, well, you know, if God is so powerful, why doesn't he just come in my dark room where I am? You know, I mean, why should he, you know? You're hiding yourself. Why are you hiding yourself from him? You go out and be receptive to his mercy. Go on Harinam. So, Prabhupada... oh, I'm in charge of Harinam. Yes. Yes. So, Vishuja Maharaj, actually I have a quote from here. Him. He used to do 12 hours Harinam. He was telling Prabhupada how merciful he was. So Prabhupada said, actually, the mercy is available for everyone, just like the sun is for everyone. But some people hide in the closet, and other people come out in the sunshine to get the mercy. So yes, Harinam is very wonderful. That's what we used. That was our service when we were joined the movement. 10 hours Harinam every day. And so, of course, I'm sure you don't do 10 hours, but no, every day. Yeah.
One day.
Yeah. So, 1 day a week. Okay, good. Prabhupada said, if you fly in an airplane in the morning, you go west, and you keep on going, you'll never see the sunset. So, in the same way, if we always keep ourselves in Krishna consciousness, then we'll always have the mercy. So, I had that experience of flying in the airplane west, and the sun wasn't setting. I was flying from India to Ireland, and I was trying to see my Gayatri at night, And I was waiting, it was 8 o'clock, and the sun was still high, and then when 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, sun never set, and then finally 11:30 when the plane was landing, that was time to say your Gayatri, the sun was setting. And then the sun got up at 4:30. And so, last year I was in Sweden, and it was Dwadashi, and you know, and I forgot to ask what time to break Ekadashi, and it happened to be at 2:30 in the morning that you're supposed to break Ekadashi, because the sun really doesn't set in Sweden in the summer. It doesn't set much. It's the land of the midnight sun, they said. So the point is that we want to keep ourselves facing Krishna. If we turn our back to Krishna, then we get a shadow. Then we're in the darkness. But if we face to Krishna, means if we accept Krishna consciousness, then we will always be in the sun of Krishna consciousness. So what is the mercy? Lord Brahma, he was praying to Krishna, and Krishna said three qualities of mercy, how it shows you have the mercy of Krishna. He said the first symptom that you have the mercy is the prayers that you have chanted. So if you're praying to the Lord, that's a symptom of mercy. If you have regularly, you're praying, that's one symptom. Then the second symptom, tapasya, the penances you have undertaken to understand me. If you're doing austerities for Krishna, so your service, what service you do, it may be your austerity. And so prayer, austerity, and nishtha, faith in me. That's the third symptom that you have the mercy. These are considered to be my causes of mercy. So this is how you can perceive. If Prabhupada said, by the mercy of the Lord, even a layman can compose prayers of the highest spiritual perfection. So, prayers, austerity, and faith. So the qualification to receive the mercy, again, is the service attitude. As Hanuman, we heard Hanuman and Ram Nomi, he was praying that you cannot have friendship with Lord Ram on the basis of material qualities like beauty, birth, eloquence, intelligence, or superior birth in a superior nation. Ram doesn't care about these things. He's looking simply for your service attitude. So voluntary endeavor, Prabhupada said, your service attitude, this is the qualification for getting the mercy. So in your next few days, the first question is, how is mercy of Krishna coming in your life? Now we're going to be looking for mercy tomorrow, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, because the next class is Wednesday night at 7. So I want you to have your eyes open for how the mercy is coming to you, mercy of Krishna. And then the second question is, if you don't see any mercy, then why are you reluctant to accept it? What mercy? Is there some mercy that's coming that you are reluctant to accept? So Gurudas was explaining how Prabhupada explained Kripa Siddhi, or the perfection of Kripa, or mercy. Prabhupada said, I'm giving you $100,000 and I'm pushing it. Take, take, take. So if you take it, that's Kripa Siddhi. If you take the $100,000, then that's mercy. So Krishna is pushing us. He's trying to give us mercy in so many ways. And if we take it, then Kripa Siddhi. Then we'll have the perfection of Kripa. There's Sadhana Siddhi, there's Kripa Siddhi, and there's Nitya Siddhi. So we are trying for Sadhana Siddhi. At the same time, we will also need the mercy. We will need Kripa. So Prabhupada also, in a lecture, he said, we wake up in the morning and we think, oh, I have so many problems to solve today, so many anxieties. Which one shall I concentrate on today? Which anxiety, which problem? Prabhupada said, no, we have only one problem. What is that one problem? Lack of Krishna. Lack of Krishna, yes, you're getting close. Yes?
How to serve nicely.
Okay. Yes? What is our only problem?
The mind.
The mind, yeah. Could be. Yes? Yes. To be Krishna conscious. Yes?
To remember Krishna.
Okay, you're all very close. But there's one word that Prabhupada used to describe our problem. How to accept Krishna. Krishna is coming every day to us in so many ways. Our problem is how to accept Krishna. That's our problem. We think we have so many other problems we have to solve, but there's only one problem. How can I accept Krishna today? Krishna is coming. He's coming when we chant. He's coming when we pray. He's coming when we work. He's coming, always coming. So how can I accept him? So looking for the mercy, that will be a good first step, how to accept Krishna. So the next verse, verse 30, we're going to hear some contradictions about Krishna. Janma karma chavishmatman najasya kartiratmana tiryannishishyarasu taradyanta vinambanam. Of course, it is bewildering, O soul of the universe, that you work, though you are inactive, that you take birth, though you are the vital force and the unborn. You yourself descend amongst animals, men, sages, and aquatics. Verily, this is bewildering. So here it says, Krishna works. How does Krishna, what's Krishna's work? Yes? Okay, he's not doing karma. But what is his work? If he's working, okay. He's establishing dharma. Very good. Paritanaya saranam vinashaya. So when he came here 5,000 years ago, what was his work? How did he establish dharma? What was his actual work? Yes. Simple succession, yeah. That was one work. Kill the demons. Very good. Yes, he worked as a kshatriya in Dwarka. That was his work. In Goloka, in Vrindavan, he didn't work. He played. When he was in Braj, he didn't have any work. I mean, tending the cows, that was not work. He played the whole time with his friends. All he did was enjoy and play in Vrindavan. But then when he went to Dwarka, he had some work to do. He had to fulfill the purpose for which he came to this world, and that was Paritranaya Sadhanam, as you said, to protect the devotees, establish dharma, as he said in Bhagavad Gita, that is my work. And if I should cease to work, then all the worlds would be put to ruination. So yes, he fights, and he was showing how to be a perfect kshatriya. He would get up in the morning and meditate on himself. Of course, we're not supposed to imitate that. We're supposed to meditate on Krishna, Prabhupada said, Radha and Krishna. But then he would give in charity, he would please everyone in his kingdom, he would accept gifts from all his subjects, and then he would distribute them to his ministers, his queens, all the rest of the subjects, and if anything was left over, he would take it for himself. That's how Krishna did. Whatever he got, he gave it all away to everybody first, and then whatever was left, he took. Did you know that? Yes. All the gifts, all the garlands, all the sandalwood, first he gave to his ministers and his to the elders of his family, then the wives, and then all the rest of the subjects. And then he took a little. Yeah?
There's something remarkable he also did. Whenever he would go to visit the Pandavas, he would salute everyone in the court who's entered to him. And he would even go to Yudhishthira Maharaj.
Yeah, he would bow down to Yudhishthira and Bhima.
Yeah, and they would address him, of course. So
right.
He did that.
Yeah, he had different relationships with different people. And when in the Rajasuya sacrifice came, he took the service of washing everyone's feet. Well, that was Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what an amazing life. What an example he gave to us how to live and be happy. And that's what Prabhupada said. Why he came, He came here to show us how to work and be happy, how to have a nice grihastha life. So in this world, everyone has to work. Nothing comes automatically. Prabhupada, in Hitopadesh, he says, you may have a gold mine under your feet, but unless you dig, you won't get it. So everything is coming to you, but you have to endeavor at the same time. And so, how is he not emptied? That is, as the creator also. Even when he expands as Vishnu, even though the whole creation is due to him, he doesn't do anything. He just looks at Maya and that's it. And it all begins just from his glance. Everything happens. So in that sense, he's inactive, and also in the sense that as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Enjoyer, Goloka Vrindavan, he doesn't have to worry about the creation or anything like that. So this is one contradiction. The second contradiction is he's born and unborn at the same time. So this is, he appears to take birth, but he's not really. No baby has four hands and helmet and earrings and all the jewelry and everything that looks like Vishnu. Nobody is born like that, only Krishna. And then, of course, so he's not born. The same also Prabhupada said that just like the sun again, and somebody said, I think in yesterday's class, that the sun always exists, that sometimes it goes out of our sight. So he's, even though it appears that he has left this world, he is still existing. He is still there in the spiritual world. So Bhaktivedanta Purna Maharaj one time said in a class, in Vaikuntha, there's no contradictions. But Goloka is full of contradictions. And only the devotees can understand it. So all, and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments that all contradictions are reconciled when we understand Krishna's most powerful quality of being Bhaktavatsala, or lover of his devotees. So this conquers everything else. It doesn't, he may also, even when he was living in Dwarka as a Kshatriya on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he gave a promise that I will not engage in this battle at all. But he broke it. He broke that promise just because of his love for Bhishmadev, who was on the other side. Also, he wanted to keep the promise of Bhishmadev that tomorrow I will certainly kill all the Pandavas unless Krishna does something, unless Krishna also comes into the battle. So he broke his own promise that he won't fight. He took up the wheel of the chariot to kill Bhishmadev just to keep Bhishma's promise intact. And so that's why in Bhagavad Gita he told Arjuna to say, my devotee shall never be vanquished. Because sometimes Krishna does break his promise. But he will, so therefore Arjuna declared it boldly that my devotee will never perish. So we'll go to verse 31 and we'll hear the ultimate contradiction. Krishna's lila in Dwarka as opposed to Krishna's lila in Vrindavan. Quite different. And the devotees see him differently as well. So verse 31. Gopya de Taikadagasitamantava Vayate de Shashikalilanjana Sangamaksham Vakcham niniya payabhavanayastitasya Saman vimohayati vilaviyati. My dear Krishna, Yashoda took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offense, and your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears, which washed the mascara from your eyes. And you were afraid, though fear personified is afraid of you. This sight is bewildering to me. So how can God be afraid? Even he has a mother. So that's why when I was in Vrindavan at Krishna Balaram temple one time, some people came from Europe, tourists. They were not devotees. They were coming on a tour of Vrindavan. And one of them asked the question, you know, I heard that, your Krishna, he steals. He steals butter. So how can he be God? So I said, well, all the qualities that we have when we were children, maybe sometimes we did things like that. We did mischievous and naughty things. But the only reason we did it is because we got that from him. He's our father, and the children inherit the characteristics of the father. So that's why we steal. We're children. That's why we're naughty. So he was a naughty child, and that's how he was, and you know, they accepted that answer. But actually Krishna was afraid. He was drinking Yashoda's breast milk, and she put him down to go get the milk boiling on the stove, and he became very angry, so angry that he broke the pot of butter and he ate it, and he was feeding the monkeys and the boys, his boyfriends. You know why he was feeding the monkeys? It's a very, yes, you know why?
Because they were
Ram. Yes, they were Ram's servants in the last Leela. So he remembered those monkeys. And in Krishna Leela, he was always feeding them and giving them nice butter and yogurt and whatever he had in his mother's storehouse. So Yashoda came and she saw him, and Krishna jumped up and ran away, and she called out, "Krishna, stop right where you are. You are the foremost cheater, don't you know?" But Krishna was kept running, and he was looking over his shoulder, making sure she wasn't coming, and he saw her with a stick. So he was very afraid, and she said, "Stop, you thief, you liar. Where do you think you're going? Why do you behave like this? Stop immediately." So Krishna stopped, and he thought he was far enough away. And he said, "Okay, I'll stop if you put down the stick." He said, "Please, put down the stick. Don't punish me." So then Yashoda said, "Well, if you're so afraid of being punished, why did you break the butter pot in the first place?" So Krishna said, "Mother, I promise I won't do it again. Please, just put the stick down. Don't punish me." So this, as this Leela was going on, the demigods were watching in amazement in the sky, because they were all afraid of Krishna, and they had to follow his orders. But here, Krishna is afraid of his mother. So Kunti, she has pure love for Krishna, but it's mixed with Aishwarya. It's mixed with knowledge of the opulence, that she knows he's the Supreme Person. So when she sees Krishna crying in fear of his mother, then she gets bewildered. She questions his contradiction. She could have understood it more if Krishna was only pretending to cry. But Krishna was not pretending, he was actually afraid. So this was bewildering, and because she knew his power. And yet she saw how he's afraid of his mother. She was very, you know, she was offering prayers to Krishna. She was not, you won't find Yashoda offering prayers to Krishna. Kunti was offering prayers because she understood who he was. So here's the verse in Bhagavatam 6.9.37. It says, Krishna is a reservoir of pleasure. In fact, not only that, he's a reservoir of everything, including all knowledge, all truth, and all contradictions. Reservoir. So devotees who know Krishna, they don't see any contradiction in him. But non-devotees see him, see all the contradictions, and they see him as a source of fear. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, when he saw Nrisimhadev, he saw, "Oh, how wonderful, my father, this is my real father." If you go to Mayapur and you see Ugra Nrisimha, then he's very comforting, actually, for the devotees. If you see him, you say, "Yes, my father is here to protect me." But I know there was one non-devotee who came. They told me the story. Somebody brought their relative to see Nrisimhadev. And that relative was so afraid, he couldn't even go in the door of the temple. But somehow, the pujari, he was throwing water. They were throwing, you know, water from the Nrisimhadev. And when he felt the water come on his body, he felt like it was burning him, this person. And then he told his friend, you know, "What kind of water is this that's burning me?" from the Nrisimhadev. And then later on, this person actually became a devotee somehow or other by getting the burning water from Lord Nrisimhadev. So for the non-devotees, Nrisimhadev is very fearful. And for the devotees, he's a source of bliss. So we see him as our father. He's protecting us always. So this pastime also shows another opulence of Krishna, his beauty, Srila Prabhupada said. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's Kaviraj quotes Krishna as saying that, you know, "I'm not very so much interested in these very wonderful prayers of the Vedas that are chanted with awe and reverence, but when somebody comes to chastise me, then I like that. When my lover chastises me, then that steals my mind away from these other prayers of the Vedas." So nobody comes to chastise, nobody comes here with a stick to chastise Krishna, otherwise we'll throw him out, you know, from the temple. But actually, in Jagannath Puri, there is actually a custom that the residents, those who are born in Puri, they know that sometimes they chastise Lord Jagannath. So one time this happened with my god sister, Radhakunda. Her daughter's not here today, Krishna Bhamini. Her mother told me this story, that she was distributing books at Jagannath Puri, and nobody was taking any books. And so one of the shopkeepers said to her, you know, you have to go and you have to chastise Lord Jagannath, give him the sauce, and then that'll help a lot. And she said, no, I can't do that. I worship Lord Jagannath, I cannot chastise him. So then she started distributing nothing. So then the storekeeper went to Lord Jagannath and said, look, this poor lady is trying to sell your books whole day long in the hot sun, and you're not even helping her. So after that, after he got chastised, she really did well in her book distribution. Picked up. So sometimes the Lord is chastised by his devotees. And that happened actually, and I also witnessed also in Vrindavan, in front of Radhe Shyam, one of our devotees who's like a bridge basi. She came to the temple one morning and she was soaking wet from top to bottom. And she started shouting at Krishna and saying, you knew I was coming here to see you. You knew I have a 10-minute walk, and you sent this rain to make me soaking wet. Anyway, some devotees have that relationship. We don't do that, but that is the way it is in Braj and perhaps in Puri. And but we should keep our awe and reverence, but we should also understand that these relationships are there in Goloka Vrindavan. And here Krishna Vakramniniya, his head was down. He was really worried. And he said, yes, yes, I'm an offender. I did it. I broke the butter pot. And he was very afraid. Paya Bhavanaya. Even though fear personified, Yamaraj is afraid of Krishna. All the demigods, if you read, the sun is shining out of fear of him. The wind is blowing. The ocean is not coming beyond its line out of fear of him. So many things are going on out of fear of Krishna. Durga, Yamaraj is taking his toll. So, but Krishna, out of fear of Yashoda, he was crying. He was crying. Yes?
The reason he was so fearful is because in his Leela he was playing the son of Mother Yashoda.
Yeah.
He played it perfectly.
But he wasn't just playing.
No.
He was the son of Yashoda. He was the son. And that's what bewildered Kunti. Because it wasn't like he was playing a part. He was actually the crying, he was afraid, and he was running from Mother Yashoda. So in the Upanishads, it says the Supreme Lord can run with more speed than the mind. But here we see, although Krishna wanted to avoid being caught by Mother Yashoda, he was defeated. So that is because of love. He was defeated out of her endeavor and love. He has hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis serving him, but still he steals, like he doesn't have money. And Yamaraj is afraid, but he's afraid of his mother's stick. So how does the devotee, how does Yashoda become so powerful that she can make Krishna afraid of her? That is because she loves him so much, out of love. And so in the Purport, Srila Prabhupada said that Yashoda got the Lord as her child, and the Lord made her forget altogether her child was the Lord. Because if she knew, she would have hesitated to punish him. So just like with Lord Chaitanya, Chaitanya Lila, Jagannath Mishra was also punishing Lord Chaitanya. He had a dream where one Brahmin came and said, you cannot chastise your son. Don't you know he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead? But he said, no, that, I'm sorry, I don't see him that way. So I have to teach him what's right and wrong. It's my duty as a father to teach him. And so Prabhupada gave the example of Radharani, that she orders, don't allow Krishna to come in here. I'm angry with him. And Krishna tries to flatter the gopis, Lalita, but say, no, we don't have the order from Radharani. Sorry, you can't come. So this is Krishna. He takes the orders of his devotees in Goloka Vrindavan. Radharani is in charge of Goloka. Yashoda is in charge. And Krishna is the servant. So that's why we have to serve Radharani, Yashoda, cowherd boys. We have to serve their lotus feet, and then we will get a chance to serve Lord Krishna. And we know that in Vrindavan. You go to Vrindavan here, even in this world, and you'll see on every tree, Radhe, 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 Radhe. The rickshaw drivers, they don't say Krishna, they say Radhe. They say always Radhe, that instead of using, if they don't have a bell, they say Radhe, Radhe. So who is the controller in Vrindavan? It's Radhe. It's Radharani. She is controller of Krishna. So that is the difference between Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha Narayan is in charge. And in Dwarka, Krishna is in charge. But in Vrindavan, it's Radharani. She's in charge. So the residents of Vrindavan, they don't know Krishna is God. They don't know. And they think maybe he's a demigod. Maybe. Not sure. But what they do remember is the prediction of Gargamuni at his birth, that he will be equal to Narayan in opulence. So when they're in danger, then they remember that, oh yes, actually Gargamuni said, let us go to Krishna. He will protect us. He will help us. But then when actually the demon is killed, then they go and say, thank you, Narayan, for protecting our Krishna. They go say prayers. They have the Brahmins chant mantras. And they go to the temple and worship Narayan, saying, thank you. Oh, you protected our Krishna again. We worship you. So this is the Braja mood. So when we chant Hare Krishna, we can ask Krishna, please teach me how to love you. Because that is the mood of the residents of Braj. When Krishna left and went to Mathura, he sent Uddhava with a message to Vrindavan. And Uddhava was perplexed. He was trying to tell Nanda, you know, your son, he's not an ordinary boy. He's very intelligent, and not only that, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Nanda could not understand. He says, well, when will he just come back? We're just dying. And so Uddhava did not know what to say, because he knew if an ordinary person cries that his son has gone away, you can just say, okay, well, he's not the body, he's eternal, part and parcel of Krishna. But if Krishna has gone away, then you should say, well, no, we should cry more. Actually, this is separation. This is good. But anyway, Uddhava tried to console Nanda, and he said, okay, in one sense, Krishna is your son, but you just see things that way because of your vatsalya. You think of him as your son, so he reciprocates like that. But actually, Krishna is the source of everything. Entire material and spiritual worlds. You're fortunate to have him as your son. So Nanda said, how can you say we're fortunate? He says, we're the most unfortunate. He's the most wonderful son, and now he's not here. So how can you say we're fortunate? And you say my son is Narayan. Narayan is the shelter of the universe, and everyone depends on him. But do you know what my son does? He carries my shoes on his head. He's dependent on me. If I don't feed him, he gets angry. Narayan doesn't get angry. Well, my son gets angry, and not only that, he lies and he steals. He's not Narayan. Narayan doesn't do those things. And so, therefore, he could not be convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But this is actually the best thing. This is the highest love. They did not know that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And we can also attain this platform of devotional service by engaging in sadhana bhakti in this life. If you read in the 11th canto, the last verse of the Uddhava Gita is a very wonderful, beautiful verse. And it's explained that the devotees are the most intelligent people of this world. You think somebody's intelligent because he can make a lot of money. Okay, he takes $10 and in return he gets $1,000. That's intelligent. But the devotee is more intelligent than that. How is that? Because he takes this material body, which is not worth anything really, and he trades it for Krishna. That's the wonderful trading. One of the commentators says that you take your old, useless, worn-out body and you trade it for Krishna with all his sweetness, his compassion, his jewels, his ornaments. Good trading, huh? How to do that? You take your body and you use your tongue for chanting, your ears for hearing. You use this body in Krishna's service. And if you use this body your whole life in Krishna's service, in the end, Krishna will give you himself. and you will get Krishna. Isn't that worth it? We should do that. We should all do that. Krishna promises that. Uddhava Gita. Because the whole Uddhava Gita is, we just studied it this year. So it's trying to distinguish the eternal from the temporary. The body from the soul. That's the whole Uddhava Gita in so many ways, showing how body is temporary, soul is eternal. What is temporary? What is eternal? And at the end, Krishna says, you trade in the temporary for the eternal. And that's the best thing to do. So as devotees, we are trading the temporary for the eternal. That is the purpose of our life. So we're going to sing today one bhajan. Now I only have 30 copies, so you have to share this, because there might be 60 people here, so maybe 3 people to a copy. Should have made more of these, actually. I wasn't expecting so many people. The other copy that I gave you, we need to collect again, but this one you can keep. So the first one, yeah, can be collected. That's good, somebody. This one you can keep. You should share with probably 3 people at least. And then we will sing this bhajan. This is called Chor Agraganya Puru Shastakam. This is the Ashtaka to Krishna, the greatest thief. So we're going to glorify Krishna as a thief today. And this is written by Bilvamangal Thakur. Bilvamangal Thakur. So to review, before we sing this bhajan, Jai Gonitai, Jai Radhavallava, Jai Jagannath. Before we sing this bhajan, your homework questions for the next 4 days. How is Krishna's mercy coming to you? First question. Second question, is there any mercy from Krishna that you are reluctant to receive? So hopefully everybody can see a copy. You might have to share with 3 people, because we do have a lack of copies today. So try to find a copy near you. Does anybody have a problem here with copies? If you do, there are some people here that have two people to copy. So you can, there's one next to you. Raise your hand if you have a problem. You don't have a copy. Okay, everybody in the back, Rasa Vilasini doesn't have a copy. And you don't have a copy. So move up in front. People have copies in front of you. Okay. Move up. You can move up to these people here in front. Okay. Chor Agaganya Puru Shastakam. Vraje Pasitam Navanita Choram. Sing. Pasita Navanita Choram. Gopanganam Chadukula Choram. Dopanganam Chadukula Choram. Areka Jambar Chitapapa Choram.
Areka Jambar Chitapapa Choram.
Chora Gaganyam Purusham Namami.
Chora Gaganyam Purusham Namami.
I offer my obeisances to that supreme thief, Lord Hari, who is the best of all thieves. He steals the butter from the houses of the damsels of Brajbhumi. He steals all the garments of the damsels of Brajbhumi. He is famous for his acts of stealing. He steals all the sinful reactions of his devotees. Such a great thief. I offer my obeisances to that supreme thief, Lord Hari, who is the best of all thieves. Shri Radhikaya Hridayasya Charam.
Shri Radhikaya Hridayasya Charam.
Navambarasya Malakanti Choram.
Navambarasya Malakanti Choram.
Parashitaram cha samasta charam chara gaganyam purishan namami He seals the heart of Radharani. He seals the black issue of the dark cloud. He steals everything. For those who take shelter in his lotus feet, he steals everything they have. He takes all of their possessions, their material assets, money and men. He even steals their mind. I offer my obeisances to that supreme thief, Lord Hari, who is the best of all thieves. Akinshani krit ya padashitam ya
Akinshani krit ya ya
Karoti piksham patike hahinam
Karoti piksham patike hahinam
Kenapyaha pi shana chara yitri
Kenapyaha pi shana chara yitri
Jishta shutavan ajagat chayeti
Jishta shutavan ajagat chayeti
He takes away everything from those who take shelter at his lotus feet. Takes away the material wealth, wife, children, kith and kin. He takes everything. Then those persons become paupers, like beggars on the street with no house, no hut, nothing. Such a great thief who steals away everything. I offer my obeisances to that supreme thief, Lord Hari, who is the best of all thieves. Yadiyanama biharat yashesham
Yadiyanama
Giri prasaran api paparashin
Giri prasaran api paparashin
Aschajarupa nanuchara yitre
Aschajarupa nanuchara yitre
Jista shutavan namaya karapi
Jista shutavan namaya
karapi Such a great thief. If one only hears his name, he takes away all their sinful reactions. I have never seen or heard of such a wonderful thief. I offer my obeisances to that supreme thief, Lord Hari, who is the best of all thieves. Tanam chamanam chataten viyani
Tanam chamanam chataten viyani
Pranam shahita mama sarvameva
Pranam shahita mama sarvameva
Palaya sekut Chatriyata chara
Anaya seku Chatriyata chara
Tam bhakti dhamna simaya nirudha
Tam bhakti dhamna simaya nirudha
O great thief, stealing all of our assets, bank balance, money, land, property, prestige, fame, senses, mind, heart, and everything, you are running away. Where are you running? I'll catch hold of you. You are such a great thief, but now you are caught. I'll bind you with this rope of love. Where will you go now, great thief, running away and taking everything? You are bound up with this very strong rope of love. You cannot run away now. Chinatsikoram yamapashabandham
Chinatsikoram yamapashabandham
Pinatsibhimam Pavapashabandham
Vinatibhimam Pavapashabandham
Chinatsi sarvasya samastabandham
Chinatsi sarvasya samastabandham
Naiva manopattakitam dubandham
Naiva manopattakitam dubandham
You may cut off the rope of Yamaraj. You may cut off this material bondage, but you cannot cut this bondage of love. Now you are in bondage. I have bound you up. Man manase tamasarashikore
Man manase tamasarashikore
Karakihe dukkamaye nivarha
Karakihe dukkamaye nivarha
sahe chora hare chiraya. Swachaya dosho chitame vadantam.
Swachaya dosho chitame vadantam.
O great thief Lord Hari, I'm putting you in the very dark prison house of my heart. This is the right prison for you. I'm putting you here forever. This is the proper punishment for your act of stealing. Stay forever in this prison house of my heart. I'll never release you. Karagihe basha sada hridaye madiye.
Karagihe basha sada hridaye madiye.
My path. Pasha ditabantana nishala san.
Pasha ditabantana nishala san.
Twam Krishna he pralaya koti satantare pi.
Krishna he pralaya koti satantare pi.
Sarvasya chora hidayan nahi mochayami. Now I have bound you with the rope of love and put you in the prison house of my heart. Stay there, stay there, stay there. You cannot get yourself free from this very tight bondage. O Krishna, you have stolen everything from me. My material asset, name, fame, beauty, reputation, kith and kin, family members, heart and mind. This is the proper punishment for you, to remain in this prison house of my heart, bound up very tightly with the rope of love forever and forever. If crores or pralayas come, still I won't release you. This is suitable punishment for such a great thief as you. So this song is meant to be chanted during Purushottam month. In Vrindavan they chant this song, this Chaurastakam, during Purushottam month. So you can keep this. You don't have to give it back. Whoever wants to can keep this song. So now we have a few minutes left. Does anybody have any questions? Or comments? Any questions? Yes?
And just doing the devotees or relationships is unique, you know, like we've seen from our previous acharyas that there was a relationship with the deities.
With the deities, is that what you're saying? Yes. So the question is, can we develop this relationship with the deities? Like, what sort of, what do you mean? What? Okay, is it healthy to nourish this kind of mood? Well, it's healthy if Krishna takes everything away from you. Then it's better to feel like this than to feel like angry with Krishna, and why did you do that, and why me? Yeah, it's a good prayer to say when Krishna takes everything away from you, and then you realize that actually it's his mercy. So it's something. It's a very good prayer for those who have that problem in this material world. And it may happen any time to anyone. Just look at Japan. Those people, their lives were taken, their places, whatever. So many things were just immediately taken away from them. So it can happen. It's a very temporary place here. It can happen at any time. So, but perhaps you're asking, should we cultivate the relationship with Krishna, a more familiar relationship? So last year I did have I had a seminar, and one of the days of that seminar was to how to make a more personal relationship with the deities. And that was by offering personal prayers. So yes, it is good. Srila Prabhupada said that the six loving exchanges that are mentioned in Nectar of Instruction, to offer food, to offer gifts, to accept gifts, to reveal your mind confidentially, and to also hear instructions. We should also have these exchanges with the deities, these six loving exchanges. So how to, of course we know about prasadam and gifts, but how do we reveal our mind confidentially and how do we get the instruction back? So that occurs when you pray. When you pray to the Lord, then you're having a conversation. You're praying, you're glorifying, or you may be requesting something, and then the answer comes. There is a verse in Third Canto Kapiladev that the devotees, they talk lovingly with the deity and the deity responds. So in this sense, you can have a loving relationship. If you're a pujari, then when I was a pujari for 7 years, and you do have a feeling that you are feeding Krishna. That if you don't give him his food, then he'll starve and he won't eat. You do have the feeling that you're protecting Krishna. That you get that at least I did when I was pujari, that I must protect him. Actually, now I travel with a small giriraj, not so small, like this one. Right. He's right here. I forgot. So sometimes I get an anxiety when I go through the security check, as I fly a lot. And so I pray for his protection from the security guards, so they won't take him away. Only one time it happened in Nepal. They thought, because in Nepal they have all these shalagram shilas, so they thought it was one of theirs and I was trying to take him. And I thought, no, it's not yours. It's from India. He's from Vrindavan, you know. So an Indian airlines personnel came and he saved my giriraj that time. But they took us out of the line and we had to sit there. And so yeah, you have that feeling, especially if you're traveling with the deities, that you want to protect them. You want to protect them. And that's how it is in Braj, that they're not worried about their own protection. They're thinking, oh, what if something happens to Krishna? When Kaliya demon came, the Kaliya, yes, the serpent, everybody was worried, oh, what happened to Krishna? What could... And when they saw him caught in Kaliya's coils, that was the end. They wanted to go and run in. Balaram stopped them from jumping in. But everyone was fainting and when they saw Krishna. So that will come naturally. And it may come if you do deity worship, then that some of these feelings may come naturally. And when I changed my service, then I felt great separation from the deities. Or if I had to leave the country, I was a pujari in Calcutta, Radha Govinda, when Prabhupada was here. So sometimes we had to go out for a visa practically every 6 months. We were kicked out and we had to go for a new visa for 10 years, first 10 years, and then we got mercy of Indira Gandhi. And we got to have student visas and 1 year visas. Before that, it was just all tourist visas. So then, so feel great separation from these. I told a story about your mother today. You missed it. Yeah, I'll tell you after. It's a really good story. Okay, any other questions or? Yes. How Krishna behaves. Yes.
I have a fundamental question. What is the fine line difference here between a devotee and non-devotee?
What differentiates devotee and non-devotee? Okay, it's described in Bhagavatam in some purports. What is the difference? That the devotee accepts God, accepts Krishna. Non-devotee is an atheist. He doesn't accept God, basically. They don't worship. So the demons, they knew of the existence of Krishna, but they didn't think he was God. They thought they should be God. You know, and they know about the demigods. They know about the demigods, they know about Krishna, but they think, well, they're just like us. Demigods are our brothers. So why should they be in charge? We should be in charge. So they think Vishnu is, you know, Indra's brother, Upendra. So why should he be the supreme? We should be the supreme. So they don't accept that God is the supreme. That's the basic difference, that they don't believe in God. And you see in Bhagavad Gita, four kinds of pious people turn to God, four kinds of impious. So there you can also see more description of the difference between non-devotees and devotees. So if a non-devotee is in trouble, he will go to the... of course, we also do that, 9-on-1, but... he will think that he is capable, or some other person of this world is capable of alleviating his problem. But for a pious person, he will go to God. He will say, no, this is the way that my problems will be solved. And this is my shelter. He will worship. And even if he's not in trouble, he's pious, he will worship the Lord. He will believe. But the non-devotee will not believe. He will not accept Krishna or God. Do not accept God, existence of God.
So, devotees means people from all faiths, all religions, worshiping all forms of Krishna?
Yes. Pardon me? That all religions?
Yeah.
Yes, they are devotees also. They are devotees if they believe in God. But Prabhupada all great religions, they teach to love the Lord and to know Him. That is the goal. But unfortunately, they are not following. And that I understood. I was a Christian and I went to church. And when I was 13 years old, I understood that these people are coming here, most of the people, they're just here for some social life. They don't really believe. I felt like, I really believe it. I believe what, you know, they're saying, of course, what Christ said in the Bible, but I feel like these people don't believe, most of them. So you get discouraged when you see nobody believes, nobody's really practicing, even though they say they believe. But yes, and that's what Prabhupada also, when he would meet persons from other religions, he would encourage them to follow the rules of their religion. The Buddhists, he would tell, practice nonviolence. The Christians, he would tell, don't eat meat, don't kill animals. And so he would encourage people in their own faith. And it's, yes. And one of my godbrothers, his father was a Christian minister, and he was teaching the people to be vegetarian and in his church and to chant Hare Krishna. Also. Yeah, I also met one in Sweden. Her guru told her to. She is a minister in a church, and he said, "You continue your church, but at the same time, you teach them vegetarian and chanting." And so she's a Christian minister still, and a devotee, as initiated devotee, as well. So if you understand the principle, then you won't be disturbed by the details. And I understood that there's much more knowledge here. Of everything in the Vedas, this Bhagavad Gita is enough, but then you get the Bhagavatam and you get so many things. It's wonderful. Yes, so we don't see contradiction. We see the similarities and we just say, okay, it's just the next step upward. Yes, you have a question?
Impersonalists who don't believe God at all, are they atheistic?
Okay, the question is, the impersonalists who do not believe that God has a form, are they atheistic? Yes, it's covered atheism. The sequence is that first Buddha came and he threw out the Vedas and he taught impersonalism first. He was the first one. And because the people were killing animals in the name of the Vedas and not following properly, so he threw out the Vedas and said, just follow me and do this non-violence and other good qualities. You should cultivate this. And after Buddha came Shankaracharya. And he took the same philosophy, but he brought them back to the Vedas. He took the impersonalist, atheistic philosophy and he said, okay, yes, it says this philosophy is here also in our Vedanta Sutra. And then Lord Chaitanya and all the Acharyas came and they said, okay, so now we are going to show you the real meaning of Vedanta Sutra and the real meaning. So yes, and that is covered atheism, is Mayavad philosophy, personalism.
North India, there is a people movement going on, like Sikhism.
Sikhism is very Krishna conscious, actually.
Yeah, but they don't believe because the preaching is upper.
Yes, but there is one devotee lady, Sikh lady, and she has written a book, How Sikhism.
Mainly
it's all impersonalism, everywhere in India. All Hindus, why Sikhs? Just the Hindus.
They don't preach that. They right. Take out of the context.
Right, exactly.
God has no form. But they still, in their home, they have photos.
Yes.
They are mixed up.
And Muslim also is very impersonalist religion. They're not atheists, but they're impersonalist. Yeah, it means covered. Because we had one, I went to one seminar, Grihastha seminar, and the husband is Muslim and the wife is a devotee. He's a devotee too, actually. But he keeps his Muslim religion and he preaches to the mullahs. He brings them, they come to his house and they see the pictures of Krishna and they like to hear the stories about Krishna, the different pictures. And actually, even if you go into the Quran, there is a description of God with form. But now this impersonalism has spread everywhere. And I went to one church in America, and there was nothing, there was no altar, there was just like a piece of wood or something, and that was what you worship, you know. It's just gone, you know. when I was a child, and there were beautiful pictures of Christ and all this. And but then, to modernize, then they just take out all the pictures and make it impersonal. And they think this is progress. Now we've become equal to everyone. So throw out all the personalism. And so this is a problem nowadays, yes. When the Archbishop of Canterbury, I believe, he was asked, what is your concept of God? And he said, a burning bush. Because that's how God appeared once to somebody. So, but that's, you know, okay, he might have appeared that way to somebody once, but that doesn't mean that's his eternal form. So only here do we have that complete knowledge of the personality of Godhead. Prabhupada has given us that. In personal calamity, thou hast moved, he said to Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati. Okay, so you have a question? No. Okay, so we'll stop here. It's 12 o'clock. I believe, is it time for RT now? 12:30. Okay. So we'll stop here. It's supposed to stop at 12. Please come on next Wednesday at 7 and watch, look for Krishna's mercy in your life for the next few days. All right? Hare Krishna. All glories to Śrīla Prabhupāda. Yeah, you can have my sheets of work. Yeah, this one we want back.
We have a Shakti Vriksha program in the evening.
Which Swarup Shakti Mataji has spoken to you about? No? Nobody has spoken to me. No? I had told her to request you, like, we have Nirana Bhakti Vriksha program in the temple only. We are in Prabhupada's room only. But it's a home program which has been running for the last 3 or 4 years. And I don't know if you can come and attend.
What time is that?
7 o'clock. 7.